Father, we thank you again this morning
in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
What a blessing it is, before the foundation of the world, you knew already. There is a time when people will be in thousands, like in some congregations. There is a time when there will just be two or three, and you give all the same blessing. Lord, we thank you. We worship and we adore you. Thank you for the time to rejoice before you, time to sing in your holy presence, and we worship and we adore you, Lord. As we just study the scripture this morning, Lord God, let it minister to us, and let the lessons thereof, Lord God, get a hold of us and be part of us, and help us to keep this thing, Lord, until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you because we are here to bless. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. So, today, I want to talk about prayer this morning. One aspect of prayer. Very important. So important that the Lord gave it in two parables. Not to talk about the same subject in two parables. It means that it's very, very important. So he taught us many things. He taught us how to pray and why we should pray. Then he also taught us that persistent prayer is very important. So this morning, persistent prayer. So, the Lord gave it in two parables because it's so important. So, let's look at the two parables and then we see how the Lord taught us to be persistent, persevering in prayer, never to give up. So, well, the Lord gave two parables on persistent prayer, meaning that to tell us that, to indicate to us how important it is for us to be persevering in our prayer. Let's look at the first parable. The parable of the friend at midnight. The Lord gave that parable and so on. So when the Lord answered, when they asked him, Lord, he was praying one time, said, Lord, teach us how to pray. So when the Lord answered the disciples' request to teach them how to pray, he gave a parable to bring home his final important point concerning the art of successful prayer. To receive the answer to our prayers, we must be steadfast and determined. We must not allow discouragement to cause us to faint. So that is the essence of this parable. And two of them, I'll go through two of them this morning. In Luke 11, chapter 5, is the parable of the friend at midnight. Let's read it, the parable and so on. So and then we see, the Lord, when he gives a parable, he's telling spiritual truth and a deep truth indeed, So Luke 11, 5. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me three loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. That importunity means persistent in prayer. Because of the persistence of that friend, he gave it to him. Not so much because of his friends. So let's look at the parable and see whatever the Bible can teach us about this parable. But apart from persistence and perseverance in prayer, the Lord brought us, this parable taught us many other things, as we will see now. According to this parable, so we can begin to be, a man stood at the doorway of a friend at the midnight hour. So in our own way of talking and so on. We can imagine to be exhausted, right? It's midnight, he was in the journey, he was exhausted with his travels. So, he was greatly in need of food and rest, right? And he was not a stranger, but was a well-known, and I carry the name of a friend, right? So, he must be well-known to this other friend, right? So, it was midnight, and as far as you can know, at midnight, in the time the Lord was talking, there are no street lights, right? As far as we know, that we have today. So the Lord was talking in the context of those who were living in those days. So there was no means of illumination at all on the open road. Traveling was dangerous. So, but the thought came to this man, look, that's a friend of mine on this way. So he was encouraged, to continue his journey until he arrived at his friend's house. You know, I will reach my friend's house. So he was encouraged to keep on going until he can reach his friend's house by midnight time, right? Well, the parable teaches, first of all, hospitality, right? Because his friend accepted him, right? But we see that it's just more than just hospitality, you know. So the Lord is talking about spiritual things here too. On the road of life, for example, darkness descends and the soul loses its way. It happens in this life, you know. So in the journey of life, right, darkness can descend and the soul may lose its way. The soul may become bewildered, right, and the person turns to a friend for help in his distress. Happen in life. Well, clearly the Lord is teaching on prayer and is warning us at those of that time that we should expect to be appealed to for help. People will appeal to you for help. You know, people will come to appeal to you for help, for example. And we have to be able to perform the necessary act of intercession for others. Right in this parable, Lord is teaching you and I that in your life, one time or the other as a Christian, people will come to you for help. Not only should you be able to help them, but be able to intercede for them, as we see in these few words of the Lord as we go further in this parable and all that, you know. So hospitality and intercession, and people will appeal to you for help, be ready to help and to intercede for them. That is the case in this parable that the Lord is teaching us here. So in the middle of the night, in this parable, the man was a friend. This man, his friend came to him and he had nothing to give to him, but he had another friend. So he went there to this other friend, a friend, right? There was the man making a journey, right? And he came to his friend at midnight. Now, where the man welcomed him and things like that, you know, but he had something to set before him, right? Then this friend said, let me go to my friend next door or my neighbor and so on. So what happened there in the middle of night? So the man, awakening his friend by knocking at the door and so on. Immediately, this first friend opened the door to his friend, right? The one was traveling. Then he locked up the house. You can imagine him like that. Maybe anyway, knocking this day, today, he ring the doorbell. Can you imagine at midnight? Somebody ring your doorbell at midnight. Nothing more expecting something like that, you know. But what is his friend? You open your door to him, welcome him, and then he gives water to drink and something like that, you know. Light up the house, gave him a cordial welcome, right? This is the attitude that a Christian should have when anybody appeals to him for spiritual help. We will look at spiritual aspect of it and the physical aspect of it. That should be our attitude. We welcome people, welcome our friends, you know, welcome them and so on, you know, and with a cordial welcome and so on. Although the Christian can do so much to encourage and help a sinner, right? Spiritual side now. No? There is limit to what we can do ourselves, you know? We can help a sinner in a way. There's a limit to what we can do for them, really. The parable then showed the very next step in what the Lord is teaching us. What is it? Salvation is supernatural and it comes from heaven. We are telling the spiritual side of this thing, you know, because the Lord doesn't just give parable except they have spiritual meaning to them. There is a physical aspect to them, but they have a spiritual meaning. So no man can supply what is needed for salvation by yourself. You can't do it. We must go to a friend who has the bread of life. We are looking at the spiritual aspect of this parable, you know. That friend who has the bread of life is the Lord himself. The Lord said in another occasion in the Bible, in John 6:32, then Jesus said unto them, in John 6:32, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. So we now see the reason the Lord represented the man who came at the midnight hour. For at midnight time in those days that was preaching this sermon, you know, it will not be unusual to fail to have extra supplies laid in there. In all probability, there is nothing laid aside, no supplies at that time, and of course, it would be impossible to secure them at that hour. In those days, God was speaking. Where nowadays, you can call the pizza hut or call papa, whatever, to bring pizza at midnight in our day. But in those days, there were no 24 hour selling and buying in those days, as long as you know. So as far as they are concerned, that time of the night, there is no supply, they can't go anywhere, so it is night, unlike in our days. So therefore, the Lord is showing from our human resources, we have nothing to supply the way sailors need. So that's what the Lord is teaching us here, you know. Then comes the picture of the power of intercessory prayer, right in this parable and so on, that, you know, that hospitality, right? Then there is the power of intercessory prayer to supply the anxious inquirer's wants, you know. Since the householder had nothing to supply his friend, because it's late in the night, and unlike our day, they don't have 24-hour buy and selling, they don't even have street life in those days and so on, that, you know. So he has nothing to give to his friend, right? So he left the house and hurried up the street to another friend, you know. And when he reached the door, he did not even exist one time to knock on the door at midnight, past midnight. And when it was heard, he responded by explaining to the other friend, "Here's my dilemma. Here's this my friend, that friend came from a far journey. I have nothing to say before him, right? And, you know, that is the reason I come to interrupt your sleep at midnight." We can see him explaining to his friend and all that, you know. Well, the friend within, you know, appeared to be disturbed, right? Wasn't happy that this guy come to come and knock at his door past midnight, right? And they wasn't happy about that and so on, that he came to disturb his family, you know, at midnight and so on, that, you know, and begin to give excuses why he can't give him anything. Talking about persistence in prayer, right? The Lord teaching by parable persistence in prayer. But this parable even teaches more than persistence, as we see now. It taught intercessory prayer also. So what happened? So this friend within appear to be disturbed, right? And going to make excuses. He said to his caller, to his other friend, in Luke 11, verse 7, "Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give them." So what is God teaching us here? By this part of the parable, the Lord is teaching us that he who will be a soul winner, see, or an intercessor, will find many hindrances and obstacles, that if he allowed them, those obstacles might tend to discourage him, you know. He will be tempted when he meets these obstacles to give up. See, the man is certainly right. He didn't need the bread. It was a different man who needed the bread and so on, but he went out of his way, left his own house past midnight, go to another man's house, another friend, to come and ask for bread for another person and so on, that, you know. So that kind of interceding for this other man and so on, that, you know. So in our life, people will appeal to us for help from time to time. And like salvation, as far as salvation is concerned, we see a sinner who is lost and so on, right, who is looking for the way of life and so on, that, you know. We must be ready to help them and so on. But we will not always have everything they need, especially for salvation. Salvation is from the Lord alone, you know. So, and for you to give up now, you have a difficulty, in interceding for people, or to give up is a great mistake because you have obstacles, right? It'd be a great mistake. You don't give up, you know, when trying to help others. The man at the door was in no doubt to be denied. He was an intercessor for somebody. He won't take no for an answer, you know. And even he was trying to help somebody, but he won't take a no for an answer, you know. Even if he put a strain, "I come to this man, he's my friend, Even if it means that our friendship will be strained, that's okay. I must get this. I know you have this load, right? I know you have what I need. I won't leave this place. I will keep on ringing your bell, the doorbell. Though you complain, I'm going to stay here. Even though after this encounter, you may not be my friend anymore, but I'm going to get what I need and so on. So the man was, you know, persistent. You know, it was persistent to get what he wanted and so on. So he continued to press the, you know, his demand until he obtained what he needed. So what the Lord is telling us here, the Lord is teaching importunity in prayer. That's what the Lord is teaching us here. That's what I'm talking about is when a persistent prayer, importunity in prayer. If the man will not give to him because this is his friend, the Lord said, yet because of his importunity, he will arise and give what is needed. And then where? Let us not mistake this analogy to, you know, about the Lord. Does it mean that the Lord, or should we think about God giving to us grudgingly, like this man? No, that's not the thing God is teaching us. Or that we have to pester the Lord before he can respond to us? No. That is not what the parable is teaching and so on. You know, rather, the Lord, you know, is teaching the ministry of intercession. That in this ministry of intercession, there will be obstacles put in the way by a third party. See, you know, you will have to help another friend, and there will be obstacles as you stand in intercession for others. You know, so, and you should not be discouraged by these obstacles. So, like in Daniel chapter 10, we can see an obstacle. There is a third party. Daniel was seeking the Lord and so on, you know, and God has sent an angel to him to help him to understand what will befall the people in the latter days. And it took him 3 full weeks and so on, you know, for Daniel to keep on waiting, persevering in prayer. So, we are shown that, there are active, intelligent, and evil powers that resist the one who prays. An opportunity is needed to break through. When you are interceding for other people, I'm sure, there are powers, evil powers, that will try to hinder you. And if you take importunity, meaning persistency, for you to have a breakthrough. When you know these things, then you won't be defeated in your prayer life either, or in praying for others. So now, when we see the door shut, talking spiritually now, and our petition is not answered, we should not despair. This is the lesson now. When it doesn't seem to be closed on you, spiritually talking, or even material, the thing you need and so on, and your petition seems not to be answered, don't give up. Do not despair, but continue knocking. So, and the Bible tells us in verse 9 of Luke 11, what the Lord said, and here is the lesson God is teaching idea. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, he shall be opened unto him. So the lesson is clear. The Lord is teaching us here. So when you are making your petition to the Lord, and the door seems to be to be closed on you, your petition not getting answered seemingly, we should not despair, but continue knocking. And the Lord says, it shall surely be opened to you if you do not give up. So there are delays in prayer. We must know that there are some delays in prayer which we cannot explain. It happened to me and you, right? To anybody who prays and so on. We can't explain everything why some prayers are delayed. We don't know everything. But the final thing is this. God is our friend, you know? Say, I call you friends, right? No more will I call you servant, you know? Whether we understand it or not, doesn't matter. Just keep on pressing in and pressing through. God is our friend, and this our friend, the Lord Jesus, he neither slumber nor sleeps. Amen? He neither slumber nor sleeps. He's watching over you. No matter what you feel, watching over you. There is no period of the day that is untimely for him to help you to supply your needs. no time limit to him and so on. Nor can we, by continual coming, wearing him out. You can't wear out God in it. Praise the Lord. He is the Almighty. What are we saying? No matter how your petition may look, or delayed, or anything like that, keep on, do not give up, keep on pressing in. The Lord said that seeker will find. The Lord said that knock shall be opened unto him. So that is how it's going to end up if you just do what the Lord said in this parable, teaching us the blessedness of persistence or importunity when we are asking God's things. So nevertheless, it's our friend, we can approach him many times. There is such a thing as perseverance in prayer. An intercessory prayer is necessary for the highest blessing. So we should know by now, some things don't just give in easily. Some prayer don't come after easily, but if you keep on, pressing in, the Lord says they will be answered eventually. So the beauty of this parable is that by reason of threefold friendship, three friends were involved, right? We can see many things from this parable. The beauty of this parable is that the reason for the threefold friendship, this three friendship, the ultimate result was obtained, right? He got the loaf from one friend to the other, for the other friend, and so on. So the threefold friendship, they obtained the result. Each of these persons, as we are told, they are called friends, right? Why? The friend who is traveling, right, and has lost his way, comes to the door of his friend at midnight. The friend who welcomes him, in turn, goes to the friend who can supply the need. So what can we see from there? So the friend obtains three loaves of bread, right? The friend obtains three loaves of bread to give to his other friend, right? Why three loaves of bread? Sometimes we look into the scripture to see why God does what he does. And we know the Lord's parables, they are things about the kingdom of heaven. They may teach us things about the worldly things here, but above all things, they are about the kingdom of heaven or about himself. Why three loaves, for example, you know? So first of all, there is the bread of salvation, you see? That the bread of salvation. So the promise of eternal life is a wonderful one too. So why three loaves? In John 6:47-50, we are told that the bread of salvation. You can read that on your own in John 6:47-50. The bread of salvation, I thought that, you know. So but there is more than that, you know. Even for this time, I thought that, you know, there is a bread of divine healing for those who have tasted of the bread of life. So I'm just counting why three loaves, right? There's the bread of eternal life, right? There's the bread of healing for this time. Eternal life is the life to come, right? But while we are here, there's the bread of healing, right here. So the bread of divine healing for those who have tasted of the bread of life. And we see in the Bible too, the Syrophoenician woman in Matthew 15, the Lord is teaching us perseverance. So we can see the healing part and the persevering part right in that woman. We all know the story of the Syrophoenician woman who came to the Lord for the bread of healing, but she came in the wrong way to the Lord, right? And the Lord rightly denied her. You can see that in Matthew 15:26. The Lord at first denied her what she was asking for. In Matthew 15:36, the Lord answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." So if you are following the train of thought we are doing here, we are saying there are three loaves, right? Why three loaves? So we say that the eternal life, bread of eternal life in John 6:47-50, that the bread of divine healing, and that's why we are here from her. And we are seeing this woman here, you know, asking for healing for her daughter, and how she took the wrong approach, and when she did, the Lord denied her rightly. And in Matthew 15:26, we said what the Lord said. The Lord said, "There is no meat to take the children meat or bread, and to cast it to dogs." You see, the woman was determined to get a better heal, right? No matter what, if you call it insult, it makes no difference, right? So the woman was not to be discouraged at all. That's a lesson for us as well, you know. She was willing to be considered, even as a dog, if she could have the prompts from the master's table, you know. When you are desperate, when you are determined, if people may insult you, you get your eyes on what you want, you know. And when she said that, oh, master, even the dog, they can eat of the crumbs that fell from the master's table, that get it to the heart of the Lord, you know. That got to the heart of the Lord. And the Lord gave deliverance to her daughter. So we see that there, you know. So she was persistent to her two things in there. She was determined and she was persistent. So the bread of healing is part of, you know, of these three loaves representing one salvation, one healing, as we see here. And the third loaf of bread, of course, the bread that if a man shall eat, he shall live forever. In John 6:35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. We have seen that those three loaves in this parable, it's a parable, right? It means three things really. It means salvation, it means healing, it means, the Bible also says here, you know, the bread of life, and that a man should eat and he shall never die. He that eats of the bread of life receives eternal life, the Lord says. And that is a further eating that one can truly eat and be truly satisfied. That is the bread of the Holy Spirit in filling, if you want, you know, that satisfies one's innermost being, as spoken of in Luke 11:11, you know. So we are saying what these loaves really mean, you know, in spiritual terminology, or what the Lord really means, deeper meaning of these things and so on. It means salvation, eternal life, the infilling of the Holy Spirit and so on. It means all these things, you know. So in Luke 11:11, talking about the infilling of the Holy Spirit, Bible says, if a son shall ask bread of any of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye men, then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So you can see those three loaves, it means salvation, eternal life, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, Christ in you and some of us, you know, more than just the physical bread. Talking about it and so on, you know. We must be determined to get our prayers answered. We must be returning. So the parable of persistence assumes that there will be difficulties. God is teaching us there will be difficulties, you know, as we pray. Times will come where it seems that our prayer will not be answered. If you look like that, you know, that's how you put this parable here and so on. We are not to be discouraged, but persevere. We must not give up. In the end, the answer will come. That's why the Lord used two parables to illustrate the same truth, you know. And here is how the Lord concluded this parable here in Luke 11, verse 9. And I have read it before, so that don't ever get discouraged. No matter what the delay looks like and so on. And I say unto you in verse 9, Luke 11. I say unto you, ask, it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. That is be what is in your mind all the time. No matter what it looks like, say the Lord's word in your heart like that. Now, the Lord gives a second parable just to teach us persistence in prayer. You know, as to persevering in prayer. So, and that we can see in Luke chapter 18, you know, the parable of the unjust judge, you know. I'm going to go through that also, just to impress in our mind, indelibly, that when there's a need, perseverance may be needed to get answer to our prayers. And it is so important, the Lord gives two old parables to illustrate that. So let's see right now in Luke 18, and I will read the parable of the unjust judge. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. See that perseverance, that persistence right there? Saying, there was in the city a judge, which feareth not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came to him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, this judge said, or regard man. Yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. So just by the Lord even giving two parables on the same subject, he tells us that perseverance is very important. Anyway, verse 7 says, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he be along with them? I tell you, the Lord said that he will avenge them speedily. The Lord will avenge you speedily. Then the Lord said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Let's look closer to this parable and see if we can, by the word of the Lord, get a better insight to what the Lord is saying here, you know. Definitely, the parable teaches that men must never lose heart, but that they should continue to pray on, press on, pray on, press on, regardless of hindrances or delays. So, it teaches that men must never lose heart, but that we should continue to pray on, regardless of hindrances or similar delays. It carries the thought of the importance of importunity, this parable did, or does, even more than the one we just read now, which is the parable of the friend at midnight. This widow thing and so on, the judge, even carry a more heavy, you know, teaching about importunity or perseverance in prayer. So, and the Lord employed two contrasting characters in this parable. Let's tear it apart, you know. To emphasize his point, he chose a poor, persecuted widow. She had no influence of anything, and also an unscrupulous judge, who, we are told, fear not God, and nor regard public opinion. This kind of judge. So, two kind of contrasting personalities the Lord chose in this parable. Why? We don't know. So, the lesson is that if this irreligious judge will not be persuaded to give the widow woman justice, she will plague him by a continual coming until he will do it. See, the Lord is teaching importunity, perseverance in prayer, never to give up. Once you know what you are asking God for is in the will of God, no matter what, how long it's taking, you know, you just stay unmovable, you are persistent, you know, it shall come through. In the parable, we are not told much about this woman, but we can begin to put two and two together and see her dilemma. She was a widow, right? Perhaps, maybe her husband died, right? When she died, there was no one with whom she could share her burden, right? And, as the saying goes, as the saying, they say that weakness invites attack. When this world says that you are weak, they will attack you. Even in politics, it's even said like that, you know. We have Ronald Reagan said something. Ronald Reagan, the president here, you know, during the Cold War, to the same kind of statement, that's what he said, you know. We maintain the peace through our strength. Weakness only invites aggression. In a regard, you say weakness. I know when the Russians see that you are weak, they may attack you. You see, but when you say that you are strong, anyway. So this widow was helpless, right? And in the same note, now this there are people around her that probably took advantage of her. Perhaps there was a kind of an estate that was left by her husband, right? When she died, when he died, and we just kind of, you know, imagining what her situation was and so on. People taking advantage of her, and nobody to help her, right? And there was a court of law where she thought she could get, you know, help and something like that, you know. And lo and behold, where she thought she would get help, she met an unscrupulous judge who would not listen to her. The story goes, and no matter how many times she came to this judge, she will turn her down, and so on, no? She will go away. Next day, when we show up again, as you can see, because she must get this matter resolved, she has resolved that this matter must be resolved. Somebody took advantage of her situation, and she must get it straightened out, you know? No matter how many times the judge turned her down, she showed up again at the unjust judge's door. So she would not surrender or hope at all. She didn't. She returned again and again to renew her request, but succeeded only in further annoying the judge, as we read, you know, who ordered her to depart all the time. So we can certainly liken our situation to the experience of many today who pray for deliverance and yet appear to receive no answer to their prayer. It's like that, you know, and we can. And you know, she could have given up if she wanted in this year, and her sorrows, but no, she didn't, you know. So people looking, many people today, they are looking for God to do something for them. Because they could not persevere enough, then they can conclude, oh, maybe it's not the will of God. Well, you have been cheated, right? You know it is God's will, what you are asking God for. You don't give up on that way. She knew this thing was her right, right? Whatever she was asking the judge to do for her, she knew it was her right. So we don't just give up and let the devil deceive us and say because maybe it's not God's will. No, no. So this woman will not give up, you know. And, you know, so finally, as she continued appearing at the door of the unjust judge, one day, I think the judge asked himself, you know, how long this creature will keep on pestering me, she thought. He thought to himself and so on, you know. It would be better for me to just do whatever she asked me to do than for her to wear me out. So the judge gave him because of the persistency of this widow woman and so on, you know. So he granted her petition, you know. So as we read that parable. So the parable does what? Encourages persistent prayer. That's what I'm talking about today, persistent prayer. I want you to really sink that into us. No matter what we meet in life, once we know that what we are asking for is in the will of God, we just stand immovable, unshakable, no matter what it looks like and so on. So every element in this parable inspires the supplicant to press through. That's to press through, you know, don't give up. The woman was weak, as we see, oppressed, friendless, and without influence, right? The judge fear no one. Look at the contrast. The Lord apparently selected such a case to give cheer and encouragement to those who are overwhelmed by distress and misfortune, that they might know that their prayers, like those of Cornelius, will eventually be answered. No matter what, you know, the Lord chose to encourage his people, to give us cheerfulness and encouragement, you know, when we are distressed, when we are overwhelmed, you know, or to those, you know, who have some kind of misfortune, you know, to encourage men, that they might know that their prayers, you know, in the Acts of Cornelius, in Acts 10, you know, the angel told Cornelius, that prayers are come for a memorial before God. See, I don't know how many times he had been praying, and one day angel appeared to him and so on. And salvation came to his house and so on. So, and through the and though the answer does not yet appear in what you are praying for, see, if you continue in prayer, never fainting, the answer is bound to come, especially when you know for a surety you are asking, what you are asking for is according to the will of God. We are told in the scripture, if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we receive the petition that we make of him. So, and that's why in verse 7 of Luke 18, and the Bible says, shall not God avenge his own elect, see, which cry unto him night and day, though he bear long with them? So we see the Lord will answer our prayers. Sometimes we have to be persevering, we have to be persistent, you know, and not give up halfway because there is a delay. But whatever it is that doesn't make it to come to pass immediately. So, and so let us be mindful of these things, you know, as we go through this journey of life in the Lord Jesus Christ and our prayer life. So, and for God to give two parables for this particular interesting subject of persistence in prayer, we should pay attention, you know. And so, now, God in this parable, that he thought, very, very mysterious. The Lord comparing himself to an unjust judge. How can the Lord compare this? How can the Lord God Almighty, you know, compare himself to an unjust judge? Why should he be doing that and so on, you know? So, on the surface, pointing to us on the surface, you know, why will God do that and so on? But we must notice that the conduct of the judge is expressly condemned, right? We know that. His character is depicted as exceptionally dark. He fears neither God nor man. Moreover, he boasts of his impiety. This judge did so. And despite all these things, God still likens to this judge. Well, what can we think about this now? Nevertheless, the way we can look at it is this. The judge, in his position, does represent divine authority. You can see yourself in Romans 13, 1 to 5, you know. So how God, you know, so the judge represents divine authority, really, you know. Romans 13, 1 to 5, you want to see that? In that God has ordained law and order, and this judge on earth is even as God in heaven, the cause of last resort. So that's the way we should look at it and so on and so on. So the key to the parable then is that if an unjust judge who assumes the prerogative of deity will, because of a widow's importunity, grant the decree she desired, how much more will God grant justice to those who trust him? Though he delay long in meting our judgment upon the oppressors, and the Lord said that no matter what, that he will avenge you even speedily. So, interesting parables to encourage us in our prayer life to be persistent. Always establish in yourself that what you are asking for is according to the will of God. Once that is settled, time is nothing, you know. So, you keep on until the answer comes, you know. It's just the essence of this parable and so on. And this parable closes with a surprising question. The Lord answered, the Lord said in that parable, in verse 8 of Luke 18, very important question. The Lord said, I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Now, here is the question. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? The Lord ended with a question. Shall he find faith on the earth? Well, let's talk about that and close with that, you know. The parable, said that and so on. Well, the Lord left the question unanswered anyway. He had this question, never answered it. You know why? It's not up to God. It's up to you, or to me, whether we have faith when the Lord comes, amen. Praise the Lord. So, and what time we spent a lot of time about faith here, right? God has given you, you know, there to every man a measure of faith, amen. You must allow it to grow. Praise the Lord. So that's why he didn't answer the question. It's up to individuals, whether they will have faith, the coming of the Lord or not. Now, this kind of faith, what kind of faith is he talking about? Salvation? No. We already saved. We are sailing in this Lord's path, journey, waiting for his coming and so on. So not salvation faith, no. So, and what kind of faith is the Lord talking about here, you know? And but the Lord said that we need find faith on heart when it comes, you know. Definitely not salvation faith. Many Bible verses tell us that there will be many sins, I mean, on heart at the coming of the Lord. We know that. So this being so, it is obvious that the Lord is referring to another kind of faith. What kind of faith is this? I close with this. It is the faith, supernatural faith, amen? Supernatural faith. Maybe faith for the rapture. Praise the Lord. Supernatural faith, you know. It is the operation of the very gift of faith itself. And there are many who have faith in the goodness of God, which is good. But not so many who will stand out on his promise where the element of danger is involved. Where they can say, well, God is good and so on, but when there is element of danger, not many people are willing to stand on the word of God, unmovable and unshakable, what the Bible, you know, tells us to do. The kind of faith that is talking about here is, it is the faith that stays steady, like that of the widow, you see, which refuses defeat where all evidence in the natural is against it. Have you been there before? Everything natural is against what you are asking God to do for you. And so what do you do? And that was that woman, you know. She was steady, you know. So that's the kind of faith the Lord is talking about. Because he had that question in regard to this widow's parable, right? So he's looking for the faith that stays steady, that of the widow, which refuses defeat when all evidence in the natural is against it. It is a faith that sees victory, even at an hour when evil seems to be prevailing on the earth. This kind of faith sees victory. Praise God. You know, a faith that believes that God hears and answers when there is no physical evidence of an answer. That is the kind of faith he's looking for, amen? When he shall he find it when I come, you know? Not just salvation of faith, but letting me say, we know that one. So this is the quality of his faith he's talking about, you know? So, and let's close here with certain examples in the Bible. So therefore, the question the Lord is asking is this, in finishing, whether you will find this kind of faith I tell you right now, when he comes, you know? And the Bible, let's just read a few more scriptures here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17. Pray without ceasing. So the Lord gives two parables, and there are a whole host of other scriptures that talk about persistence in prayer. And one of them is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Don't be discouraged. Don't give up until you get the result. The Bible says when you knock, it shall be open to you. The Lord said when you seek, you will find. The Lord said when you ask, it shall be given you. That should be what we put in our heart all the time when we are praying. The Lord says it shall be given. It shall be open. It shall be given as long when you ask as well. So that's India. God will take care of his part in all these things. The only issue in doubt is whether I or you will take we do our part, you know. Our faith will not fail if we keep our eyes upon the promise and place God's word above all else. See, that kind of faith, don't look at the physical thing, you know, you look at the promise of God. So persistent faith this morning, persistent in prayer, you know, establish what you want to be the will of God, and then don't let anything move you. Let me just give about two or three examples of those who did it in the Bible, and without even going to the scripture to save time, and you will see that they won. How about Jacob, you know, and never know later to be called Israel and so on. You know, like you know the story at 32 of Genesis and so on, I won't go here. You know, he was run away from home because He kind of cheated his brother Esau, right? Took the birthright from him, and all those things and so on. He was gone for 20 years. Then God told him to return to where he was running away from anyway. When he was near the house or whatever, near the town or whatever they were, a report came to him that his brother Esau is coming with a revenge, 400 men of war, you know, and so on, you know. So, 32 of Genesis and so on. So, but this man separated himself from the family for that night by the book Jabbok and wrestled all night in prayer and so on, in perseverance. You can read it for yourself, and you know the result. You know, all night long, and the Lord gave him victory, you know. So, you know why he had such a faith? You know, because God told him to go back to where he was running away from, right? He had the word of God. That's how we should move. Once you know it is the will of God, nothing else should deter you. So he prayed all night long, and the Lord, you know, delivered him. When he met his brother, eventually they fell on each other's neck. The people came to attack him, and they wept together, and so God delivered him. He even received a new name, see, from Jacob to Israel, and so on, that, you know. So we see that one in Genesis 32, perseverance. All night he struggled, you know. So, and how about Daniel the prophet, you know? Daniel, like I mentioned before, in Daniel 10, you know, pray for the welfare of his people and so on, that, you know. And we see how for 21 days, you know, 21 days Daniel was there praying, you know. And right? See, I never ate bread. He said, I did not eat any. It was a partial fast anyway. He was fasting and praying for 21 days. Until the answer came, you know. So that's a good example of perseverance. How about Elijah the prophet? Very good example, right? He always got his prayer answered, right? When he called for the, you know, when he called for the family to come, immediately the heavens became black, you know, and the brook began to dry up, you know, because instantaneous and so on, that, you know. Many, many miracles he wrought. As a Christian, too, in your life, there came a time when he was to bring back the rain. It didn't happen the first time. No. It took him 7 times to bring back the rain. It took him 1 prayer to shut up the heavens. It took him 7 times prayer to bring back the rain. It's a type of a Christian life. But you have many answers that happen immediately than the one that took so much time. You can learn from there, you know. So he was a man of faith. He had faith. Don't think you don't have faith. He was a man of faith, you know. 400 prophets of Baal, you know, destroyed them and so on by the word of God. Come and fire down from heaven and so on, that, you know. So, but there be a time. We don't always know all the reason why the Lord delayed something, you know. Prayers, but to teach us persistence. To teach us trust at times, you know. So this morning, as we go this morning, no matter what you encounter or you are encountering and so forth, that, you know, and it is God's will for you to have these things, be persistent. The Lord said the answer will come. Since you have been knocking, it shall be opened. Since you have been asking, it shall be given. See? Since you are seeking, you will find. So let us have this in our mind this morning. Even Elijah himself, you know, and look at the great prophet Daniel, you know, and a man of faith. A great intercessor, you know, and it took him 21 days to get one of his prayers answered. So, no matter what delay you have in your prayers today, keep on trusting the Lord. Father, we thank you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus. These things were written for examples that through the scripture we may have all. The things which are written are for us, and they were written for our examples and for our admonition that we through the scriptures may have hope. So we thank you for the little time we spent here this morning looking at those two parables you gave. So important is the prayer of, you know, to be persistent in perseverance in prayer. That's why you gave two old parables here to open our eyes, never to ever give up on that which we know is our right in Christ to have. Whatever blessing we are believing God for, that we know is the will of God, never ever to give up, you know, on them, but to remain in the presence of the Lord. When all physical elements is against us, it makes no difference to the Lord. The Bible says when we ask, we shall shall receive. And that what we'll be talking about. When we seek, we shall find. And when we knock, shall be opened unto us. So as we go this morning, let this thing be with us even right to the coming of the Lord. To improve our prayer life. That we get more answers to our prayer. Lord, grant it in the name of our Lord Jesus. Also, the intercessory prayer, that three friend fold that we read about in the friend at midnight. How many we approach us as we pray for souls to come. They were lost in the world, looking for the way of salvation. Help us and make us available and ready to help them, Lord. And we have to look unto the Lord to help them. We cannot help them of our resources. We have to let the Holy Ghost lead us to help them. See, of ourselves, we can even do nothing. The Lord has said, of myself, I can do nothing. He said, I do nothing, but the Father shows me. Lord, we open our eyes, our hearts to you to show us, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus. We are to point them to you, Lord. And the Holy Ghost in all will guide us. We thank you because we will receive answer to all our prayers. Even as for this morning, Lord, nothing will be the same again. We believe as we ask, we will be receiving. As we knock, shall be opened unto us. As we seek, we shall find. Lord, we worship and we adore you. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So let us take some time to pray for those who are not here.